Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and
me, Hileni Inane. You know, it's a good thing you said good evening first because I was really gonna come on here and say good morning.
It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to talk about business matters, economics, and today I'm with Hileni Inane, and as it has always been the case, we talk about business and economic segment. This is a platform where we talk about business opportunities, we talk about economic development, we talk about, it's a learning platform actually. Kajingo call it Lecture Hall 1.
Lecture Hall 1, to learn everything there is to learn about the economic and about, business and endeavors, because, all of us cannot just wait to be someone's employee, right? Okay, I love it here, but the rest of you guys can go ahead and the rest of you guys can go ahead and become business owners so that you can also come back and do business with us. So those of you that are into business, those of you that are constantly helping and, in hands with us into growing the economy, you are the target for this particular show. And here we just come and learn every day and relearn and also teach you a thing or two, because we can all agree you don't know everything.
but I like it. I like it when you say you love it here. But at the end of the day, businesses also need people to work in them. You understand? You can't just say everyone can't be
that's
a business
why I say
person.
They should go be business owners. I love it here.
But at the end of the day, somebody must be there who can also assist the business to grow. Before we come to the introduction of our topic, we are going to be, with a guest in the next 2 minutes. Just maybe Hileni to introduce our topic for our guest, then we can start with it.
Definitely. So, there's this concept of start a business. Like they tell you start a business, like it's supposed to be something really easy to do. Like you should just take whatever, if you're good at braiding, perhaps you should just take a chair and go sit somewhere and start braiding. Or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're good at, providing a particular service or doing something for someone. But do we really have the conversation of the cost of doing and maintaining a business, especially in Namibia? Like, what are the things that goes into owning and operating a business? I'm not talking about this these sitting room businesses that we are running and suitcase businesses that we are running, and you are not even qualified to apply for procurement tenders because you do not have the legal requirements, or you do not have what qualifies you to be accepted as a business. We are not talking about those ones. You guys those ones should do their thing. So today we are going to talk about the cost of doing business in Namibia, and we are going to discuss the costs, the requirements, and how that goes into maintaining businesses. Because if you look into our market, you'd come to the realization that many businesses do not last past 5 years. And it's something to be interrogated, because now you go ahead and you ask yourself questions such as, oh, the business started off well, and it was
with
a great
big name.
With a good name. It was a good name. It was a good initiative. It was a good idea. It would have, sometimes you even ask yourself, but why did this one close? Like, it was going to be so helpful to a lot of people, or it was going to benefit communities in a way. And then you have to go back to the drawing board and ask yourself, before this business was started, people get into understanding the cost of maintaining it, the cost of starting it, and continuously having to maintain it, because you just don't start making profits today.
And there's also why you have a very big question to ask, to say, how much do you need to start a business? Because it's already costly starting to make money. You already need money. If you don't need money, you also need resources. But I don't want to preempt the conversation of our guest. We are going to be joined by the guest, Mark Nyepavari. And after a very short commercial break, we are going to be in the conversation with Mark Nyepavari. But to our dear listeners, we are going to open the line after this conversation so that you can engage us in the studio. And yeah, because it's a learning platform, you learn one thing or two. That's why we are always also inviting, you know, those business-minded people, experienced entrepreneurs, people who have been in the field, people who understand. Not just somebody who went to get money, you become a motivational speaker that you grew up in the dusty street of some... You know, there's always this thing.
There's always a story.
Yeah, there's always a story.
There's always a story that does not entirely make sense.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say before we get into our interview with Mark is that, like everywhere else in the world, starting a business will always come with challenges, and it will come with regulatory benchmarks, especially from the government and policy holders. Like, there are just things you need to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope those are just some of the questions that we are going to address today, because there is so much room for businesses in Namibia still. And I am sure there is still so many business people that need to come and start and flourish in them.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Let's go for a commercial break, then we can come with our guest.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wa mina apili kwa mavchaziva. Mwvele kisema app ato lokasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zali vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilingi, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzira mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba ize tatama Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu haiva mtavira kulisfera sakereke ya mina si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba va 081-2358-063. Kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu. Mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Yes, dear listeners, welcome to Business and Economic segment with David Shombe and Hileni. We are moving on with our guest for today. We are in the studio with Mark Ngepavali. Mark Ngepavali is a business analyst, and he is going to engage us on the cost of doing, maintaining, and indeed establishing an enterprise in Namibia. And he's going to tell us some of these challenges and also maybe what need to be done in order for us to understand what does it really mean to establish a business in Namibia and what are the costs involved, because business is what is driving the economy. So, Mark Ngepavali, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic segment.
Good evening, David.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to have you. Now, as somebody who as a business analyst and somebody who have been in the industry for quite a while now, and you work with SMEs and enterprises in Namibia. Maybe just your overview, how costly it is to establish something that is called a business, which is registered, complying with all the legal frameworks, and maybe operational at that level.
I should start with coming up with a business first, David.
Yes.
We know what a business is. I think we should talk about...
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anywhere. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yes.
And then we all think of somebody selling.
Yeah.
Think of those that are selling formally, and then those that are being chased every day in the streets.
Yeah.
And then when you are talking about that business, we want to see all the people selling formally. We don't want to see anybody being chased in the street or selling something that is really at a low standard.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we look at when you're talking about business. So, to come up with a business, although we mostly talk about or encourage especially young people to come up with businesses, it's not really a walk in the park. Not an easy thing. It really requires a lot, especially in terms of the course that you have just based your topic on. So you really need a lot for you to become up, I mean, to be able to come up with a business, because it doesn't just come up just like that. So you need money. In most cases, you need money. So you need, it depends then now on the type of business that you want to come up with. And then it's where it should determine the cost, so that you can be able to have or to establish a business. So I can't really say how much, but it differs on the type of business that one may want to come up with. And all I know is just that it really requires a lot of cost. Let's say in the retail industry, for you, let's say maybe one wants to come up with a small shop or even just a tuck shop. Obviously, you can't just come up with a stock from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You need to come up with that. And then in this country, when mostly we are talking about businesses, we really think of a bigger picture of it, where we think of somebody that is really having a bigger stock, making a lot of money. And then for one to really reach that level, it needs hard work, which is also costly because it also involves time. Involved of sacrifices, where you have to give up some of your maybe your personal life, social life, and many things. So you really have to sacrifice for that to be able to run that successful business. So it's not just a walk in the park. So that's what I should say for now.
Yeah, maybe when we are looking at when you are looking at some of the requirements, especially in maintaining a business, a lot of business persons that we encountered with, they talk about the requirement to pay tax. They talk about the requirements to register with relevant bodies. They also talk about even maintaining, as you have said it. Now, to what extent I'm a foodie registered business? Do I just need to be registered with BIPA and the NAMRA? Or maybe if you can just a few basics, although not all the requirements, to what extent I can say I'm really fully operational now, everybody can come and call me a former business?
With all what you have mentioned, David, it's what determines one to become formal. And then also you just add a venue to that. To say the place that you are operating from, is it at a formal place where you are allowed to operate from that area? Or you are trading there illegally, where you are not allowed, you're not given a permission, you can't even present your certificate of business to be able to operate from that area. So that's one thing to add to that. But bringing it to the level I wanted to put it of small and medium enterprises, and also at the community level, mostly at the grassroots level. We may talk about all those necessities, requirements, but there are so many businesses that don't really need those papers to be able to be in operation. Yes, when you are talking about our small and medium enterprises, if you think of it, you obviously also have an image in your mind where you can refer to that this is a small business. Maybe somebody who is just selling under a tree, somebody who is selling a cooker shop, somebody who is just selling a car wash. So these are really small businesses. These people are not making that too much money for them to be even able to pay tax. Even if you think of whether they are cheating the system, would you really want this to pay tax? Really want. They are really small. So those businesses, and they can grow. It just depends on the experience, the knowledge of how one is running this business. And then they can then be able to bring it up to the level where they can be able to source for those documents to be able to enter an advanced market where they can be able to then offer advanced services,
yeah.
like I said, car wash. You may find mini markets at houses,
yeah.
Especially in most of the towns. And then you won't want it to be just at one level in the whole lifetime. You want to expand, to move to the former areas where you don't just have to operate from home,
mm-hmm.
Reach bigger market. So when you are really small, we really do try to have all the documents that are necessary that we have been advised to have.
Yeah.
But in most cases, they are not really relevant to all the businesses. They are relevant at certain levels, not just somebody who's just starting the business today and then you already have all the documents. And your business sometimes doesn't even last longer. You just end up having a lot of papers in your house with a business that fails being really successful.
Mm-hmm. Now, while we are there, maybe because there are some of the business requirements which come on the way once somebody start to expand, because I've seen like in Windhoek there was a certain stage where the municipality has to come to these guys who are operating car wash to say, no, you need to be having a certain standard, you need to have a certain drainage, how to conserve water. By the time you expand to a certain level, then they can say, no, now you are a bigger business, you also need to have safety, you need security. After that, they can say, no, you need, even if you have, in some situation, even the aspect of having a restroom, say, no, now you need to have more than two or one restrooms, or maybe you need to also have inclusive restroom for, you know, people with disabilities and other things. Do you think some of these requirements which come on the way are some of the things which are limiting some of the businesses to expand? Because some people think, when I'm growing, it's like I'm also growing for my town council to get money from me or from the government to come to me. And what is your view on that?
Yeah, it's business-based. As you grow, the more cost comes up. You don't just remain with the same cost from the beginning up to when the business grows. Cost, as you grow, the cost also becomes much. So obviously, like the example you have given of a car wash that expands and then now it needs certain toilets that are at a certain order to be able to accommodate some other people. It is really like obvious, even as a business person, one may want to have something of that nature.
Yeah.
Although it really comes with a cost. And then as much as you bring in the cost, then the price obviously have to go up. So the more you bring in the cost, the more the price goes up. And it affects a lot of businesses. And not only in car wash, in almost every industry, in the manufacturing industry, retail, the price of petrol goes up. David, it affects almost every industry. So because the more they get charged on petrol, the more the prices you have to put them up, because you won't want to lose, you won't want to make lesser profit. You want to maintain your profit and then also even get more. So obviously any expense, and then there are really a lot. There are really a lot. It's just about what the government will also have to do for small and medium enterprises.
Yeah.
Because in most cases when the government is talking about businesses, even when I've been at many presentations where the government is talking about supporting local businesses, and then mostly they focus on bigger businesses, and then it's what they refer to as small and medium enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, if you are to do research and then find out or find these people and then categorize them, you really realize that most of the policies, most of the assistance that we say the government gives and a lot of things doesn't really, it's not really, or does not really benefit these people that we are thinking of when we are talking about the small and medium enterprises or business people. And also it doesn't really reach those people. It reaches businesses at a certain standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now while we are there, let us look at the issue of risk management, because One of the person I was interviewing, a business person, is to say, no, I put all my money to the struggle. I put all my money in the stock and business. Once something happened, either I got robbed or fire burned, I don't have anything to come back with. Now, what is your view in that? Do you expect either SMEs or middle business or maybe any business which is registered to have a recovery plan or maybe a backup plan, if I have to say, because that is also costly, some of the costs that we talk about.
And bigger businesses are insured.
Yeah.
You know that. And then small businesses, in most cases, when something happens to the business, they die automatically because they don't have any backup.
Yeah.
And what needs to be done when we are talking about, especially when you see a government or certain entities saying they are investing in these businesses, small and medium enterprises,
yeah,
they mostly just talk about money. And they talk about money where they are giving either a loan,
yeah,
or a grant, giving real money to this business. But they don't also look at other things like training.
Yeah.
Because this person needs to know that if they are planned, they should also plan for such. Mm-hmm. Say, in case something happens, what should they be able to do? So they have to have a recovery plan. They have to ensure that they have the right savings that are necessary for when anything happens to their business, mainly for it. And then the businesses will not really be able to be, as much as they are affected, they won't be able to close because you have a backup and be able to make use of that. So it's not just about making money and then you focus on expanding money, maybe buying more stock, and then at the end of the day, you just focus on growing and then you're not thinking of what if it collapses or something happens to the business, and then you have to maybe perhaps start from the beginning again to cover you. You just end there and then you call it you tried.
Yes. Yes. Let's look at we are looking at some of the cost in maintaining and operating a business, because I'm talking this because I'm referencing somebody I was interviewing, especially in the industry, in the auto industry, and she indicated that I just want your opinion, because you have those risk takers who say, no, you need to lose more money for you to get more money, and there are also those who are saying you need to be very calculating and take calculated risk. What is your view, or maybe your opinion, to it can be a small or medium business operators, to say which strategy is good? Is to risk it all, or to be a little bit stingy and move with time? What is your view on that?
You do not have to rush, David. You must take your time, and then you must have a plan. That is what I should say. You must have a plan, and then obviously the plan guides you, and obviously you have to take it. And then we say you have to lose for you to gain. It's true. It's not a joke. It's really true. You have to lose for you to gain. And losing, it's not only about money.
Mm.
The time that you are spending there, some people that you used to socialize with, a lot, maybe a certain environment that is no more applicable to you, it's a lot. And then also in terms of money, you can have savings that you have to make use of for you to be able to perhaps expand your business or to invest in certain areas of your business that you see that my business is...
Life's all about making real moments. So here's to you and your chomies for being 100% real. From jiving to the car wash for the chill, not the wash, to making the cooler box your seat for the night, to going out after work to get that Chino's to Plucky's feeling. Here's to making everyday moments better by keeping it 100% real. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
As you know, you are really taking that risk. It must be calculated. You can't just spend for the sake of spending. Must really be must really be a calculated action where you know that as I'm investing in this, because it's really a need to the business, and then these are the results that I expect from this kind of investment, that the risk that I'm taking now. Because if it's not calculated, you won't stop risking. I mean, you won't stop losing if you only believe that you have to lose today. You must know what you are doing, and then must also be in the plan. So also, when it's coming to the business plan doesn't remain static or to say just the same.
Yeah.
It changes, because sometimes throughout the operation, you may realize that some of the things are heading in the other direction, and then it's going well, and then you have to tune these things to fit that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be able to succeed. So that's really what you have to put in. So I should say, as much as you are risking, make sure that you have also calculated very well the action that you are taking, so you don't just risk, because the aim is to gain.
Yeah, Mike Pavari, thank you very much for joining us at Business and Economic segment, and it's always a pleasure to gain from your insight. Thank you very much.
Welcome, David. Thank you, sir.
Shap.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinions, ask questions, and converse with us in studio on 083-288-401.
So there you have it in our conversation with David and Mike. And I hope that was quite insightful to you, especially if you're trying to like come up with a business venture, or you are already in business. Maybe it's your first year in business and you are currently struggling with a few things. So that's just some of the information that you could be looking at. On the side note, our telephone lines are open now, so you can call in to engage us on the conversation that we are having right now. Our number in studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401. I don't know why I sometimes forget this number nowadays. It's like, maybe I'm smoking expired something, guys. but either way, so David, what was your takeaway from that insightful conversation before I ran with it?
Yeah, it was quite interesting to look at the view of a business analyst. One thing which I've asked is that, which one do you prefer as somebody who is venturing in business?
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer to risk it all, or do you prefer a calculated risk? Then he indicated that business is a process. Business is a process, and you need to take your time. However, at the end of the day, you must spend. You must spend for you to make sure that at the end of the day, you establish a business. Because if you want the money, you have to lose money somehow. Mm-hmm. And maybe one thing that Mark have mentioned is the aspect that when you look at when the government is starting to recognize businesses,
mm-hmm.
in most cases they are talking about established businesses.
Yeah,
just like what you were saying, because when a government is saying no, we are assisting businesses, they don't really look at somebody who is at the foundation level.
Mm, but you need to be established, you need to have a bit of experience. And you know, there's always a criteria for something. And I was last year, I think it's the NIPD, or I'm not sure which government SOE, but I know it was part of the government SOEs, and they were funding businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would look at the requirements, and all of the businesses they are willing to fund should either be 18 months to 2 years old.
Yeah.
That means it leaves no room for the person who is just starting up, for you as an aspiring business person who does not have the capacity or the capital to start right here today. So it leaves nothing for you, because no one is willing to take a chance on you.
Yeah, no, that is very interesting, because when people are defining businesses in Namibia, because people fail to understand that when I'm entering business, or when somebody's entering business, is because the person does not have money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it has to take time. Maybe after 3 years, you are fully registered.
Yes.
That's why those assistants, if they are not reaching the grassroots level, because there is already cost involved when you are starting, when you are marketing yourself, maybe you are renting a place, and you will not move. That's why you find The other time we were making jokes with Kave to say we have, business incubators, ne? They're assisting you. Maybe after 5 years you move out.
Yeah.
But you have adult babies because they are scared of moving out. I've stayed in the incubation center for 15 years.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. That's why it's very costly in Namibia to operate a fully registered business where you can also get assistance from either financial institutions or maybe you get assistance from the government or even just to stand up and say, no, I'm attending this entrepreneurship conference. Well, people are going to ask you questions. What are you doing? It's order with me. Where are you? But that is not it's hassling, but not really at that level.
And you know, what baffles me all the time is the fact that in as much as you spoke about attending business conferences, branches and whatnot, and the list goes on for either startup businesses. Sometimes it they are mostly targeting startup businesses.
Yeah.
And they and they are targeting unemployed people or people that are trying to get into certain spaces. Now, what baffles me the most, what shocks me every other time, is the prices of the tickets. It's one thing to say you are inviting young entrepreneurs to attend your event. But now look at it from this point. This person wants to learn, right? That's why they're interested in this particular conference or this particular engagement that you are going to have. Already they are unable to register a business, which if you are doing yourself will cost you plus minus 1.5, because it's now all the registration where accounting letters here and there, like and the logistics that goes into it, the running up and down, and places are so far from each other.
You end up at 5k.
Like if you are doing it yourself, at least you don't go to 5k. But if you get someone to do it for you, the prices are already there fixed. And some of the packages, they don't even include anything. Someone just in so some people only includes name reservation and business and founding statement. That's already at one point something. So these things on their own are a bit costly. Now you want to start, you are thinking long term. You are thinking long term because you need to think about how will I be able to maintain this. And Mark said, the more you are in existence as a business, the more expensive it becomes. It's and true. He didn't lie. And that is the actual truth, that the more you are there, the more you realize that you need to, you know, sometimes you omit little things that you are not even aware of. There's something called a BO, ownership, something there by that entity now there, that those that register businesses.
Yes.
And I remember being fined about 5K.
Yeah.
Because there's this particular BO thing I needed to go back and like fill out.
Yeah.
And I was not aware. Like, you know, you are new at this and you are making so many mistakes because you are learning. But those mistakes are also very costly. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you are constantly learning. You are constantly evolving. But at the end of the day, so are the expenses. If you are catering for 10 people today.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you get a bigger number. It means you need to put in the money for a bigger number. You need to buy 10 more chairs so that you are able to cater for those new 20 people that you have. You need to, everything needs to come. And you're not even guaranteed.
You know what is, while you are there, what is very funny is also that even the authority will come for you. Let me say you are operating, just for argument's sake, you are operating a bar in the corner of Greenway or wherever you are. Then you put in either it's a restaurant or whatsoever.
Yes.
When you start getting a lot of customers, then the authority will come to you to say, no, at least you need a bigger license.
Yeah.
When you get that bigger license, then they will come to you and say, no, I think now this place is not safe. Maybe you need
A security guard or you need to move into a commercial area.
You need to move into a commercial area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the more you start making a lot of money, the more they are also charging you. That's why you find these people at a certain level where they are just maintaining the cycle of money, not really to make more money. That's why there's one analyst who was saying, no, it's more easier to open a business in UK than to open a business in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
even to extend of maintaining it, because in UK it will take you more than 1 hour to register a business, even online. Then you are already done. But here in Namibia, starting it is already costly. Expanding, making more money, the more they charge you, the more also other businesses are making money from you.
Mm-hmm.
They say, no, you need the premises which is accommodating what. Then you also need a bigger license. You need to look at your structure. Look at what happened to this basic SME, Kawash.
Mm-hmm.
Then the authority came to them and said, no, you need a certain drainage. Water is moving this way and whatsoever.
Yes.
We sometimes say it's true, it's fair, but these guys, they will not make money.
Because now the input and the outcome already, already these people don't make that much. Guys, people don't make, I don't feel like people make a lot out of car washes. Like, there are days where it's really moving, but there are days where people are just doing things to go by. And I have this personal belief of, you know, business as a term in Namibia, or business in general in Namibia, is tailored to benefit those that are already well established. Because I was recently also looking at a tender that people need to bid for the Kietman swap in regards to the Founding Fathers Memorial that will be held in Kietman swap. And I was looking at the requirements, and these people is expected to cater for about 500 people.
Yeah.
And it states in the in the bidding advertisement that this person is only getting funds after they have completed the event, the work. I know you and I had this conversation
to say
people don't finish work.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, but I'm also now saying, if, let's say, for instance, I decided to apply for that tender, maybe I have a good menu, I meet the criteria, I meet the requirements here and there, but then again, now you get the tender and you're like, Yeri Father, where am I going to get the money? Now you need the money to execute.
Yeah.
And if all tenders that are coming up are coming with that same, let's say, especially government tenders, especially for people that are aspiring to go into the business of procurement, the business of tendering, the business of supplying and so forth, then you need to always have reserve funds to make sure you are able to carry out your work. You know, the ones of that are running their Ndingoshos, those ones are fine.
They are better.
They are better because you buy off your one crate, you go sell. Yeah. After selling, it finishes, you refill. After refilling, you're able to get two more crates and so the business grows. But then there are businesses that are not just able to grow from, from the, just like that, boom, it's growing. It needs a lot of input. It needs a lot of structure and it just needs a lot of assistance from wherever. And Mark said, you are in 100% or you are not taking a risk at all.
No, I think we need to redefine when we are talking about empowering businesses, because to the government, they think they are helping people from Kietman. But somebody who is going to benefit from that tender is somebody who is already well established. Because
that is not from Kietman.
Yeah, it could be somebody from Kietman, but not really to say you are supporting businesses. You are only supporting people who are already
established.
I don't want to say elites. Maybe I will sound like somebody else. But I'm saying people who are already established. But if you want to empower people, make sure that you leave a room also for those who are coming into the system.
Yeah.
Assist the person. Why can't you? I don't even want to say give a person 50%. Give a try to a person. This is a national issue.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is supposed to benefit. What about the meme who have been operating a restaurant for 10 years and unable to move? This were supposed to be some of the opportunity that they can maybe utilize their skills.
Okay, David, let's pay our bills in 2-1.
Okay.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend,
Why do you seem so worried?
Open it.
Okay, welcome to Business and Economic segment with David Shombe and Hileni Inane. We are talking about the cost of doing and maintaining business in Namibia. We were engaged by one of the business analysts, Mark Ngiepavari. However, to our dear listeners, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. 083-288-401.
And while we are on that, of course, our conversation is about understanding the cost of doing business, right?
Yeah.
You know, when we speak about the cost of understanding business, this refers to all the expenses that are associated with establishing this particular business and with running this business, from registering the business, licensing the business to operational costs such as rent, utilities, wages, and compliance with legal regulations in Namibia. These are just some of the key factors.
Yeah.
But you'd come to realize that in between
there
are also those unaccounted for losses that you will get that you are not expecting. Let's say, for instance, if you are running a bar if you're running somewhere where they sell alcohol and there's this beer that everyone loves, a beer on the tap.
Yeah.
And those beers, it's a machine.
Yeah.
Like you have to pour it through a machine, right?
Yeah.
That is plugged in onto electricity, and maybe on one of your busiest day, and then the people there by electricity, they just decide there's no electricity.
Yes.
You'll experience losses for that particular day.
Even debt. Because Mark was talking about the aspect of maybe having a backup plan or risk management. Because let me say we are in partnership in a business.
Yes.
Then we risk all our investment to say, no, let's put this 50,000 in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a backup plan because we are just starting. When somebody robbed us or when there's a risk of fire or something happened to that business, we have all of us to go down and restart again. That's already a cost. That's why SMEs, they are operating at a very risk level because you are not insured.
There's a lot of risks.
Yeah, there's a lot of risks.
It's like on Wampohati, Kamgathuranj. You're just doing your thing and you're really hoping that it works out for you. You are just there hoping that, you know what, it should work. It should really, really work so that things can work out for me.
But I'm just thinking also, maybe the authority also, or those institutions must also maybe, not really to say they categorize, but they must try to look at what really keeping people behind. Because if you are really talking about fighting unemployment in Namibia, or maybe you want to expand in terms of economic opportunities, look at how you can support smaller businesses. Look at the cost of a business to survive. Look at the opportunity which you are giving. Example of a tender that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
How about people who are in that field but they are at a smaller scale? Even if they come together, you will not afford that money. Even 20 of them, if they come together.
You cannot afford the money to feed 500 people.
Yeah.
And it's not just food alone. It's food, refreshment, everything
You need a certain standard also.
Because if you do not reach that particular standard, we are going to come witness and come say, the business owner that was there.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hi. How did they get the tender?
No, it's really a conversation which needs interrogation. And it's also a conversation which needs people to rethink. It can be lawmakers. It can be people who are running institutions which are assisting businesses. It can also be business persons on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are operating a successful business, don't only think that because you are operating a successful business, you are going to survive in the economy. You need other smaller businesses also to support you. Because at the end of the day, money have to circulate and business have to support each other. That's why even when we are at these meetings or business people meet at these meetings, they must discuss about these matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of business people, they really have a thick skin. The person is spending all his or her investment, but the person's not making profit.
Yes.
Yeah, you are just continuing because they are calling you entrepreneur, but there's nothing which is coming in the business.
It's just the name that you are keeping alive.
Yeah, it's just a name.
And you know, and I look at all those things, and it's unfortunate that we cannot get some of these people to interview.
Yeah.
And I've looked at and witnessed a lot of franchises closing in Namibia.
Yeah.
Like they would come, business would be booming for like a good 2-3 years. Mm. And after that, I don't know if it's the hype with us as clients that die out,
yeah,
or I'm not sure what actually happens.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you just see businesses, they just pack up and they leave because there's nothing here for them anymore. And if you're not making the profits that you came to make, there is no point in staying. Now imagine if a bigger franchises are able to come to Namibia, fail at the business and pack up. Who are you, common village?
What are you, the ordinary guy?
Common ordinary village guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To say you are going to be persistent, to say you are going to keep pushing.
Yeah.
Like, I understand people that have the will
to
keep pushing a business. I understand people that have the will to keep fighting.
Yeah.
But then I once had a conversation with Ilke, and she said, in a business, there comes a point when you have to ask yourself, okay, when is it enough? Like you need to sit down with yourself and ask yourself, when do I stop taking the risks? When are the risks? You know, because sometimes sometimes the risk is like you're holding onto a wire and eventually it starts to dig into your skin because you're just holding in, holding on. And then it starts to tear into your skin and suddenly you are bleeding because you're allowing yourself to bleed out. Sometimes you can see, you try west, you try south, you try east, you try north, nothing is working.
Yet
you are continuously pumping your last pennies into this business. And this is how people end up with a lot of debt, and you end up, you are frustrated, you want to, you either now have to find ways to, you lose everything, or you have to find alternatives to make sure that you're able to pay for these debts that you have gotten while you are busy trying to make this thing work. So in as much as, yes, we advocate for businesses, we advocate for economic growth, we also need to know when to throw in the towel. You need to know when to say, honestly, I cannot do this.
Maybe throwing in the towel is... It's a different way. Maybe to say, because it's life. Mm-hmm. It's life.
Go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, you can go back to the drawing board, or you can find a different strategy to say, I can't do this alone. Maybe I can collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And you are speaking like one guy, we had a conversation with one guy who said, no, David, some people, they really have good plans, but you need to understand that there's a difference between being consistent and also wasting your time.
Yes.
And you can see it. You can just feel it to say, no, I've been in this business for 5 years or 10 years, but I'm losing more than I was supposed to get. Maybe it's me who is not learning, or it's not my thing, or I need to collaborate.
Yes.
Because the problem with Namibians that we have is that I want to be the founder. Even if you are better than me in what we are doing, then I say, no, Helen, come and partner with me in my business. I still want to say, no, I started this business.
Yeah.
And there is a fear of that, to say, no, somebody will take over my business, and which is really killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same Mark was saying, look, you can, no, it's not Mark, there's Andreas who I interviewed, who said, no, you can start a business, then you can find somebody to run it,
yes,
if you are not able to do it. Because clever people, they start an enterprise, then they find a CEO, but you are still the founder. You are still making decisions, but you don't know how to do things. That's why the point that you made of holding on the wire, it's really true. Some people, they are just known to be very consistent, but consistent in wasting time is really, there's a difference. Really.
You know, you said consistency and time, and I was going to say, you are consistently wasting time.
Yeah.
Eagle FM, you're live.
Yes, good evening or afternoon.
Good evening.
Sorry, I want to contribute...
It's my
yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just in terms of how the government assists small and medium enterprises, I still think it's not really it didn't really supposed to be the way they do it, because the way they do it of just running the program in a way they just use the entities that they transfer the money to, and then this money maybe do the bidding, and then they choose who they want to fund. Instead of doing that, and then because in most cases these people that are doing these things, they are also business people, or they are involved in businesses in different ways. Some have shares in different companies, and then they just end up then giving these funds to those type of businesses. And then these are the people, most of them also don't really think of the level of these memes that sell under trees. They don't think of the level of the car washes. They don't think of the people doing barber shop. Another level. Therefore, these funds end up just benefiting from a certain level, but not the people at the grassroots level. So if the government, let's say, it was to come up with a system where you give a certain fund to these people with unregistered businesses, people who have just started or maybe have operated for even just within 6 months or a year, and then they monitor and evaluate what the fund has contributed to these people's businesses. And then they also give people to assist them with that fund again, to assist them run the process with them, and then be able to say, this is the impact that we have made with this fund. So I think that can really work. But if it's just the fund that is being given out there, and then people compete for it and end up only benefiting those that are already established, then you never go anywhere.
Thank you so much.
And you know, and my sentiments about how Namibian as a country is run, I think will always be the same to a certain extent. Okay. It's run as a clique, man. There is a clique somewhere.
It's a system.
The system has a clique. Okay. Because it's not, you know, you don't just work into some way and you start getting it.
Yeah.
You need to be associated to that clique.
Yeah.
For you to start getting it. And you know, and what Mark said is very true.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases we fight off eligibility, what and all those things.
Yeah.
And we see like, let's say, for example, you see when shops are running competitions,
yeah,
they say families of their immediate families of employees are not allowed to participate, and and you know, in the terms and conditions, the list just goes and da 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 da.
Yeah.
What he mentioned was true. Now the government gives funds to a lower SOE or someone beneath them to carry out the duty of you know, getting small businesses involved in distributing money amongst them, or giving grants or funds to them.
Yeah.
Yet you, as the director sitting on that board, you have your two small side hustles that you just opened.
No, there's a lot of things going on
there. Now you with your two side hustles.
Yeah.
Think about it. You may have the capacity to start your business and actually fund it yourself, because you have the financial capacity to. But instead, the greed in this country will kill us one day, Instead, you will decide, let me put my two businesses because one is registered under my wife's name. The other one is fortunately registered under my children's name. How will they know?
Even a side chick.
Yeah. So it's a thing of how will they know? No one will know. So at the front, it looks credible.
Yeah.
It looks like, okay. So we like to say, no, those people probably worked hard for it. Yeah. They were probably lucky. They were the fortunate ones. But in a nutshell, it's the cases where these people really worked hard for it are very slim. Let's say the deserving people that really work hard for it don't get it. And that is why, in as much as people preach and advocate for hard work, I'm for the advocacy of smart work. You need to start working smart.
You need to start working smart. No, it can have different meanings also. How smart you are working.
Yes.
But let's do it this way, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Just give resources to people who deserve it. Just give resources to people who deserve it.
Everyone, because we'll be sitting with a conversation of everyone deserving the resources.
No, because sometimes you can really see that this person have been working very hard without any competition. Mm-hmm. I mean without any support. But when the competition comes, let it be accommodative. Because at the end of the day, what he mentioned of making a monitoring and evaluation, if you just dig deep and do your own investigation, mm-hmm. you'll be able to realize that money is moving in the circle. Before the decision is made, I already know that this money is going to Hileni, either directly or indirectly. And this is what is killing, especially local markets and local businesses.
And that's why I said,
the
environment in Namibia is mostly conducive to people that are within the clique. Yeah, or at least you need to be around the clique so that the breadcrumbs can fall on you.
Yeah, but it must stop.
No, you and I don't think you and I can. You and I alone are enough to stop this particular conversation. But before we start to get our flames from Uncle Bay, let us start to wrap up. Another thing I wanted to, you know, to touch on just before was, you know, access to capital.
Yeah.
There's this idea, ne?
Yeah.
That I sat with for so long.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I know it's a good idea. I'll not share it.
Yeah.
Because I was
expecting it. Yeah.
I don't have the funds to execute it.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes you look at an idea and you're like, okay.
This one
is my thing. I have a plan here, guys. Yeah. I have a plan.
Yeah.
But then again, you are like, yo, where am I going to get the money for this? Mm. So now you are sitting with an idea. Someone else is sitting with the money,
yeah.
but you don't have access to their money and they don't have access to your idea.
We are stagnant.
So now as a nation, we are stagnant because no one is going anywhere. And, another one of the problems that contributes to access to capital is that even when you finally decide to secure a loan, to just take your business from the grassroots level and start to grow it, the interest rates are so ridiculous. You will put, you know, when a tortoise puts the head back in the shell,
I will just go back home.
You will do the same thing because you look at the rates and then you look at how long you will have to pay back this loan.
Yeah.
And then you will make calculations of approximately how much you would be making in a month. You look at all the costs that I just explained in the beginning, which is employees, rent, taxes, and everything in between. Yeah. So when you make these calculations and you are like, maybe for the first 5 years, you'll spend your whole business just paying back the loan and paying employees and paying rent. And, you know, and every day you'll be going home on a hungry stomach, David, and you will ask yourself, is it worth it? But for now, you are in debt. You have to finish what you started.
No, there are people who have money, but they don't even eat. Just because of what is in your mind, because of what you invested in, or because of what you owe.
Mm-hmm.
Because some businesses are operating at a very difficult zone. And yeah, but at the end of the day, we must find solutions to this thing if you want to move forward, because I know with all my heart that our government cannot assist everybody.
Yeah.
And it cannot accommodate everybody. But we must find a way to say what is going on in the private sector, what is wrong in the private sector, and yeah, how can we solve that situation? Maybe one day we have a better private sector that can build the whole economy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just hold on a minute. I'm trying to look for the ankles.
Yeah, I think it's already on.
The thing is off. So, yeah. So, we are actually having this conversation here right now. Anyways, so our last words or thoughts would be that, or from my end would be that, as business people, you like, if you plan on starting a business, you need to plan financially. You need to start planning for the market you want to enter into well in advance. little by little, so that when you eventually are ready to, you know, get everything started and kicking, you at least have a few finances to fall back on, at least for the first 2 to 3 years. Because if you can make it through the first 2 to 3 years, then it gives you a little bit of of a stepping stone for others that are just starting.
Yeah.
Because when you reach that stage, even people are willing to give you grants. Government is able to say, well, this one can qualify for a business something, because you are able to demonstrate that you could run your business for so long. So they are trusting that you are able to run it for a couple of more years. So my advice to business owners or aspiring business owners would be, at least have a backup plan that is able to sustain you financially for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
At least in those 2 to 3 years, something should happen for you. And if after 3 years you see that, hi, it's not for you, then you can always go back to the drawing board, re-strategize, and perhaps there are just certain things you are failing at, and then you can do better and become better at it.
And maybe the last thing is just to do, like what we have said, like know the difference between consistency and also wasting your time. Because we need to make that difference. Are you consistent or you are wasting time? And what is the good time to re-strategize? Because at the end of the day, if you are working very hard at the wrong environment, things will not work out.
Yeah. And that has been it from me, Hileni Inane, and
David Shombe. Thank you very much.
Until next time, you'll catch us tomorrow on a BES, same time, same place, same radio frequency. I was kidding, guys. When I said the building is moving, I was joking. That was just to scare the home run crew. Have a lovely evening.
Shop.